Okay. And I think you put it on hold then. Hopefully. Maybe I'll try to set this one also. If this is on, hold on, people.
That's okay.
Alright, on. I'm setting the other. Power on. Okay. I think we're good. Alright, today is the 1/26/2014, and we're at the Adult Sunday School, and I got called at the last minute yesterday, and so you got to think what you're going to teach on. But praise God, because on Facebook I'm going to start doing some videos, 15-minute segments, because that's all you can kind of upload. And so I've been studying through Colossians, and so I believe I'm prepared. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to teach through me. And for those on internet or whatever, my name's Paul A. Baalbek III. And let's start with prayer, because I know I need it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift this time up to you. Kind of was rushed to get here and with the snow and the weather. And thank you for getting us here safe. And we pray for traveling mercy on the way back, and for everyone. We pray your Holy Spirit will just encourage us, God. Correct us where we need to be corrected. Teach us, comfort us, and build us up in the faith, Father. Just fill us with the desire to be available, to be used by you, to reach out. And we pray for boldness that we might speak the truth of the mystery of Christ in us to others who don't know you, and also to share the knowledge of the truth of right division with those who don't understand that. They might not be confused in your word, God. So we give you the glory for whatever's done here. And I also pray for the pastor as later he does a message. May your Holy Spirit just anoint him from within. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So The book of Colossians is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's just high grace truth. By the time Paul wrote Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and his prison epistles, he had got all that revelation of the mystery, all that knowledge from Christ. So, you know, it's been said that the book of Romans is like the mechanics, like in a building, in the basement, all the machinery works. Especially Romans chapter 6. I think everyone should really understand that. I prayed for a year, probably. Lord, help me to understand it's the mechanics of the Christian life. That we die with Christ, we were buried, we rose, and then for us to reckon ourselves dead to sin, reckon means to count upon, rely upon. You know, it's we don't feel like that, right? You know, especially when, you know, you get tempted from without. Satan throws them flaming doubts. He's got his little schemes, you know. But God said that's what he did in his word. So we believe that, reckon it, count it to be so. That don't make it so, us reckoning it. It's because it's true. We died with Christ the moment we trusted in him. We're not who we were. And there's where the renewing of our mind comes through, you know, continually, because we still have flesh. Its power's been broke, Romans chapter 6, right? Maybe I should have preached a thought on that. But it goes with Colossians. Later, we won't get into it too much today, but he talks about how the circumcision of Christ. What's circumcision? Being cut out of the flesh, right? We're no longer who we were, yet that sin nature is still here till we get our new bodies. So it brings thoughts. You have Satan working through the flesh, and when you know your identity in Christ, and then what's Corinthians say? To take every thought captive, right? It's like, that's not me. You know, I don't care if it's a dirty thought, if it's an unforgiving thought, if it's a jealous thought, if it's a bitter, angry thought. No, that's not me. See, and it said, to reckon yourself dead to sin, but what? Alive to God. See, we get our focus, not so much teaching is sin focus. Quit sinning, you know. Quit doing this. Lord, how do I quit doing this? And it shouldn't be, Lord, how do I quit sinning? We should be asking what? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Then strong desires. So we should be praying, Lord, teach me to walk in the Spirit. And then you won't. And see, then we're not so sin-focused. We're Christ-focused. We're God-focused. We're grace-centered. So with that, we're going to get right into Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So talking about Timothy. So you always want to ask, when you know, it's one thing to read the Word of God, and it's good to do. You know, you're just reading it through. But Scripture calls us to do what? How does God say to, He says to study His Word, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, and in this church, everybody, I think, if you ain't got that memorized, you know, you ain't been listening. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So He says to study it. Now, it's fine to read it, but study is different. You got to think through when you study. You're thinking about what it says. And you got to ask questions like, who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? So let's apply that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy is our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace and peace unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is what? Writing to saints in Colossae. And he's writing to saints, so that includes us. In here, in the book Colossians, he talks about the church, the body of Christ. So this is written to us. It's written about us. This is our mail, right? So you got to ask, who's speaking or writing, and who are they writing to? Let's apply it in the Gospels when Christ says He's going to give them power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. And who's He speaking to? Them apostles, right? Did He say that's for today? No. You know, and people go, see? I don't know if you have heard of the Vineyard Movement or the... The Vineyard Movement, I can't think of his name, he just died. But his idea was...
John Wimber.
You know, I'm not attacking him or anything, you know, God rest the soul. But here's a lot today in teaching this idea. He said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Hebrews talks about that, right? Yes, He is. He never changes. Yet, He was God, the Son, without a body, then what? He took on a human body too, right? But He's still God, Jesus Christ, God the Son, right? But in the book of Hebrews, it's all about change. See how context is very important when you study and when you teach or when you're listening. You know, you look at the verses when someone's teaching or preaching, making sure they're in context. And He said, well, if Jesus same yesterday, today, forever, and He says, we'll do greater things. That, like when He told the apostles, they would do even greater things, you know. So He says, so if Jesus was healing then why wouldn't He do it now, see? So they're not rightly dividing, and they don't see who's speaking, who is He speaking to. The body of Christ wasn't informed then. So you ask, who's speaking, who are they speaking to, what are they saying, why are they saying it, at what time, what did that word mean, and then how can I apply it if I can apply it? You know, all Scripture is for our what? Learning, right? Paul says it's for our learning, for our comfort. So we study all the Word of God. You know, I'm in Exodus right now. You know, I start the Bible all over again, and you go over and over, and you just keep learning. The Bible is, my old pastor used to say, like a rose. The more you study it, it just blooms and keeps blooming. Or the deeper you dig, you start finding bigger chunks of gold, you know. You never outgrow it, you know. So, as we're studying this morning, we're going to look at them things. He says, to the saints. So what is a saint? You know, because people think, oh, a saint is, you know, somebody who 100 years after they died, they had, certain denominations, churches, canonize them as saints. They had to do, I think, three, in Catholicism, I think, three miracles. You know, so, and 100 years after her death, it's pretty easy to sort of insert some stuff in there, you know, but that's not a saint to God. You know, if they were a believer, trusted in Christ alone, by grace alone, they were saved. But a saint, the word just means set apart, a set apart one. A saint is someone who's been set apart unto God. A holiness, holy, saint, they all have the same Greek meaning. So we were set, if you're a believer, you're a saint. Boy, you know, in the world today they talk about what? You need a good self-esteem and, you know, self-image and all this, you know. We need a God esteem. That's what we need. But we need also a proper self-image. We don't need a bad self-image. We don't need this high self-image. We need a self-image based on what? Truth. And Jesus said what? Father, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So we need to go to the source of the truth, find our identity. That's why we rightly divide the word. Because if you don't, you're going to think your identity is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the Old Testament, early Acts. You know, that's not our identity. We find our identity, our marching orders. Paul says, if anyone thinks himself spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge, I give you the commands of Christ. So where do we, in the body of Christ, go to? To Paul's epistles. We find our marching orders. We find who we are. What does Paul write to us in Ephesians? That you're accepted in the beloved, right? You're holy, without blemish, perfect in his sight, you know? That's just, we need our minds renewed. Because I know myself, I come up short every day. Bill thinks it's funny because I was teaching the one time and I said, I come up short every day, every morning. And he bust out laughing. I said, yeah, I am short every morning. Every day I come up short. And I was just thinking, I go, Lord, thank you for teaching me about justification. What's that mean? Being declared righteous. Once for all. You're justified by what? His blood. By faith, just trusting that he died our death. And God takes you out of Adam, that's spiritual circumcision done without hands, places you in the Christ. Now we're one with Christ. He's the head, right? Because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? You say, well, how can I be a part of him? Because we're his body. We're connected by what? The Holy Spirit. His Spirit in us. And that's what sets us apart. And we're saints. Now that's a pretty good self-image, isn't it? Holy, without blemish, perfect in his sight. That's how God sees you. Because so many times, what do we think? We define ourselves by our failures. What a way to live. You know, it's like, and whatever you see yourself as, it's going to sort of define your behavior. You know, identity is so important. If, just give you an example, if I'm a gangbanger, what's a gangbanger do? Goes and gangbangs, right? If I'm a drug addict, what do? I go do drugs. If I'm a bulimic, what do? I go splash. You know, and then you've got your 12-step programs, and praise God, if people stop drinking. But I know a guy who didn't drink anymore, went to all the meetings, and he still wanted to drink. You know, when Christ sets you free, it's, I don't want to, and I don't have to. See, there's a whole difference. And if I come up here, like the one time I was joking, I says, hi, I'm Paul Baalbeck, I'm an alcoholic. I said, oh, wrong meeting. You know? But if that's who I am, what's wrong with when I go just get drunk out of my head? Because that's who I am. But if I'm a child of God, it don't make sense to go do drugs or whatever your identity will be. To covet riches, if you want. Nothing wrong with money, it's the love of money, right? You know, you got to have money to pay bills. I wish we had a little bit extra. Mary's, her car went out again. But praise God, all these problems that we deal with, sometimes we get all stressed out, right? Because we're focused on that. It's all going to be past. And I was telling Mary, think, God has always been faithful to provide our needs. Always. I think all through the years, before I even knew Mary, how God has just brought me through things, and you think of terrible things in your life, you know, the divorces. Me, I used to, you know, just be out there looking like an unbeliever, even as a believer, because I was on a legalism, and that just, Paul says, and was it 1 Corinthians 15:56, I think, that in the law is the power of sin. See, no wrong with the law. Paul says it's holy, right? Righteous, it's just, it's good. But when it flows through us, there's something wrong with us. You know, that's why God had to bring in grace. You know, because nobody could keep the law, only Christ. He fulfilled it, nailed it to the cross, and now what? We're under grace, praise God. And so, honey, could you give me some water, please? In verse 3, we give thanks to God. I'm going to just stop there for a sec. This should be so common in our lives. Let me read the verse, and then we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 5:16-18. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And you see here, the prayer is directed to God. And when you see other places, it's in the name of the Son, right? And then you have the Holy Spirit involved there too, because He intercedes for us in our prayers. Thank God, because Paul says we're weak. We don't know what to pray for. You know, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep to be uttered, right? So that tells you right there, you know, what's called today, thank you, what's called today speaking in tongues, you know, anaha, shakaha, anaha, whatever you do it, because different churches, a lot of time they all sound the same, the accents. But the Spirit interceding for us, it can't be speaking in tongues, because it's words that can't be uttered. So, see, you just think through things. When you know the Word of God, you don't get caught up in teachings that, you know, and I'm not attacking. I love Charismatics Pentecostal. I was one for 8 years. And there's some wonderful people, but they haven't learned to rightly divide the Word. And there's a thing called the Toronto Blessing, and it's been around a few years, and Toronto, and then the Brownsville Revival. And what these people are doing, because they don't rightly divide the Word, they're barking like dogs, they're clucking like chickens, they're shaking, they can't even a lot of times finish a sentence, you know, they're doing the slain in the Spirit, where I thought the Spirit came to give you life, and life, you know, Christ came to give us life, and the Holy Spirit don't slay you, but they're saying this was just a move of God, and it's the third wave, and people, well-meaning people that want to serve God, right? Well, if God's doing something, you know, this third wave, well then, I want to get in at it. I want that power, you know, and it's very alluring, because I was watching some videos on it. Satan, remember the pastor talked about last week or a couple weeks ago, how religion is very alluring. It's like when a man romances a woman, right? You got candles, candlelight, right? Get that in churches, right? You have perfume, smells, everything to stimulate the flesh if you want. You know, you have nice environment, the windows, you know. And I like them, but it's very alluring. It tells you what you want, what your flesh wants, you know. And I just thank God for His Word, because there's so much out there. Satan's got some for everybody, you know. So Paul talks about giving thanks to the Father. Go to 2 Thessalonians 5:16. Just a book over. Or, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians. Starting 16. Rejoice evermore. So evermore is what? Always. That is God's will. What is this, what I'm talking about thinking through when you study? When you think of rejoice, what does that sound like to you? Don't it sound like joy in there? And then re? So What does re mean? Repeat, right? Return, over and over and over. God wants us to be rejoicing, not angry, not stressed, not jealous. So how do you get rejoicing? See, when we're not rejoicing, guess what? When we're anxious, guess what? Because people in the church would go, look at them, they drink. Christians, right? Scripture doesn't say you can't drink. It says don't get drunk. Not in excess. Some people shouldn't touch it at all because they have problems. But don't look at that. Or somebody smokes. Or they dance. Oh, they dress their kids up for Halloween. Ooh, very carnal, right? Don't look at that. But they're sitting there biting their nails, worrying. And what Scripture say? Be anxious for nothing. Why does Paul tell us, the Holy Spirit through Paul, right, in his epistles, Philippians 4, I think it's 4 through 6, or then it keeps going about our thoughts. Be anxious for nothing. Well, that's a sin if we're being anxious. See, people don't see that. Oh, I just have a, you know, Christians, I just got a healthy concern. No, well, we should be concerned. There can be a healthy concern. We should be concerned about each other, right? I just want to, not everybody's here, but say, this church has been so good. Me and Mary. And I just want to say thanks for your care and concern. But that's what we should have for each other, right? See, that's what I call grace in action. Not just, hey, I'll pray for you, brother. You know, we're there for each other. And we need to pray for you, brother, sister. You know, but people will look at certain behaviors that are their fences, you know. Some people, they don't drink, right? That's their fence, because they don't want to fall into something else. And it's good for them, you know. But there's gray areas in Scripture. So sometimes, you know, when Paul says, be convinced in your own self, it's sin if you don't do something by faith. But people don't look like the two old ladies in church, the pastors. You've probably heard me say this before, but this is dedicated to the pastor. Two old ladies in church, and a pastor's preaching about against adultery. They're like, oh yeah, that's a Holy Ghost. I know that's Holy Ghost, right? Then he starts preaching about getting drunk. Ooh, he's good today. Oh yeah, pastor. Mm-hmm. Then he starts preaching about stealing. Right, against stealing. Ooh, yeah, ooh. Oh, honey, you feel it? And then he starts preaching about gossiping. And she goes, oh, he's meddling now. See, because people don't look at that, you know? So when we're being anxious, it's actually a sin. So when we shouldn't have sin in our life. We don't have to, right? But where God always says don't do something, he tells you how not to quit doing something, or what to do. So what's it say, be anxious for nothing? What do I do then, Lord? See, he didn't leave us there. Praise God. Don't you love the Buck Gods, or the Much Mores of Paul? Be anxious for none, or careful for nothing, full of care. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God, and then what happens? It's a guarantee. This guarantee, the peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind and your heart, your thoughts and your emotions. But see, that's where we come in. Because why does God, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, tell us don't be anxious? Because we get anxious, don't we? We start looking at, we're looking by sight instead of faith. You know, faith says God got it. I seen some on Facebook yesterday. He said, I'm not worried about tomorrow. God's already there. You know? And he's faithful. And he said what? He'll meet our needs. No temptation's overtaking you except what? That's common to man. See, believers go through things. That's why that prosperity gospel, Mr. Joel's thing, Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, all that stuff. And I pray for them, people. But it's all garbage. Because when life hits you in the face, no temptation's overtaking you that what's common to man. Believers get divorced. Children die. lose jobs, cars break down. You know? Things happen to believers just like unbelievers. We get cancer sometimes. But no temptation's overtaking you except as common man. But what? God's faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're, or tested beyond what we're able. But with the temptation, will provide a way of escape. What do you think that way is? When I think of that, I say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the way. It's always Christ. Do you know the whole mystery is about Christ? It's not just about a bunch of facts and we rightly divide, so we see two different programs. We see the difference, law and grace, of prophecy that was known and the mystery that was held a secret. And we got to see that. But then when we see that, it's all about Christ. Paul is always focused on Christ, dependent on Christ. For me to live is what? Christ. To die is gain, right? So he says, in 16, rejoice evermore, always. Pray without ceasing. This I've learned the last couple of years. I've always known it was so important to be into the Word of God and studying and memorizing and meditating on it. But with prayer, I didn't see it as an important, and I've learned so much because prayer is a relationship. God's, you know, there was a post on Facebook yesterday that even when God is silent, just trust He's working. And I says, He's really never silent if we'll open up the Word and listen to what He got to say. He speaks to us through this Word. But praying is so important because, and studying the Word, because what? The Word of God that worketh in you, that idea is energizes. So it's spiritual energy. It transforms our thinking. We start thinking more like God's, the way He thinks. Otherwise, if we're not being transformed, what's going to happen? We're going to get conformed. You know, like Dave says, and like I said, I think he even said he got it from somebody else. This Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word. It's true. You know, if we're not, you know, did you ever hear that little story about old Indian chief and this missionary had went there and led him and then his tribe to the Lord? And the old Indian chief says, you know, I got two dogs in my bosom. And he goes, oh really? He goes, which one wins? He said, they fight each other. He said, which one wins? He said, the one I feed. You know, this is our spiritual food. So when you study on your own, you're getting in that building up that edifice of doctrine in your soul. And so you don't wait till you're going through a problem. And then, you know, like Chuck Swindoll said, when the storm's here, you know, and you got a ship, you don't have one foot on the ground and one on the ship when the wind's blowing and you're trying to get stuff in your ship, right? He said, you do it, you prepare. So when we're into this Word and we're praying and we're having this relationship with God and we're just singing, like at work, I sing psalms, hymns, and they probably would call it something else, you know, the way I sing, but just praising them, then I'm not thinking about how I don't like my job. It's very physical now, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, I got a job. And I'm praising Him because He's worthy, you know, not to get anything from Him. And so it says, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what's God's will? We're always a lot of time praying for God's will, right? You know, but a lot of times we're praying a little selfishly. God, what's your will in my life? Like when Paul... Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, so they heard about, in verse 8, Epaphras, in verse 7, had studied under Paul. And most likely in Ephesus, as you read the commentators, and it makes sense. Paul was in Ephesus for about 3 years. That's where he said all the gospel went out all over the known world. he was in the school of Tyrannus, I think, and he was, and so Colossians wasn't all that far from Ephesus. So most likely Epaphras went and studied under Paul, and then he it says later, my time's running out, that Epaphras, who's one of you. So he studied under Paul. He learned the mystery. He learned about the dispensation of grace. Then he took it back where he lived. And that's what we do. We come to church. We're so blessed to have a pastor that has stood for the right division and teaching the grace of God for years. With people talking about, I know other grace believers that put him down. You know? And I'm just like, you know, not he's perfect or anything, but we're blessed to have him. And then so we come, you build that edifice of doctrine during the week, and then you come to church, and if it's good, sound, challenging preaching and teaching, it stirs up that doctrine, and like the pastor talked about a while, it animates it. And then what we do, because you think, well, we pay the pastor, so he's the big gun. Let's bring people to church so he can lead them to the Lord. That's not, you know, I wish we would put up, I keep forgetting to ask the pastor, a sign over the door when you're leaving, you are now entering the mission field. Because what you do, you get equipped, and then in your life, the people in your life that wouldn't come to church, they think that the roof would fall, or a bunch of hypocrites at church, hey, come on, there's room for one more, you know, right? But in your life, Christ in you, and you get into people's lives. And then you win them to Christ. Or you invite them to church because it's great. But I mean, we need to be equipped also to share the gospel. It's real simple. All you got to do is trust what? Christ died for your sins. He took your place on that cross. Come as a sinner, trust, and you'll be eternally saved. God will declare you righteous in Him. It's justification unto eternal life. Christ will come in and indwell you. It's good news. We got it. You know, so I got 1 minute. Actually, I'm going to end there and let Mary come up and sing a song before. You know, God can do a lot. I didn't have much time because I was late. But a lot with the little. I hope it's been a blessing to you today. And I love ministering with my wife and together, and I'm blessed with that. Good.
I'm not doing the one that you suggested. Okay. Good morning. Yeah, so Paul was telling me a little bit about my car. Another thing. Oh, gosh. So I'm stressed, you know. Shame on me. But I wanted to... This is a song that I do a lot, but you know what? We all go through different things. And whatever you might be going through today, this song might minister to your heart and maybe just give you some hope and some strength. If He is able.
Amen.
I do that one, and, you know, it's kind of like one of those kind of songs that just gives us hope and strength.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I was going to do that at the old Rugged Cross, so excuse me, Bonnie, I'll do that. But I think this one's more appropriate from what he was talking about. Okay. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish. What concerns me today, He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be.
Amen.
Amen. And I hope that you have a blessed day. Whatever you're going through, take it to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we do. Try to do. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you all again for your prayers and for Paul and me throughout the few years that we've been here. And, you know, the Lord has given us, we just keep on moving forward.